Our people are so creative, and that's one of the great things about going to an HBCU. You really get to be who you are without fear of being judged as being the minority. As an HBCU, you can, with so many different organizations you can be a part of that represents our culture as a people. And our next guest, Mr. Jamal Joseph, he's actually a graduate of Voorhees College, which is located in Denmark, South Carolina. He's a graduate of Voorhees, and he's also a member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. So he's going to tell us, he's a choreographer and a creative director, and he started off at a young age, and he used to perform with Kirk Franklin when he was younger, and going up to college, that experience, and then after college, he's been able to work with some pretty big names. He's worked with Eric Benet, Regina Hall, Beyonce on her recent Coachella performance. So he's worked with a lot of different people. And so he's going to tell us how those experiences were impacted by his experience at his HBCU and the effect that they had on him. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, hey, hey. What up, y'all? This is your girl, Adrena Martin, host of the Historically Black Sense the Culture Effect podcast show, and thank you all for tuning in. I'm a 2012 graduate of the illustrious Tuskegee University and also a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, and I created Historically Black Sense a few years ago, and it's a media platform dedicated to the culture of HBCUs, Black Greek life, and positive Black culture thrown in as well. Follow us on Instagram at Historically Black Sense, and you can also visit us online at www.hbcusense, and that's SINCE.com. So basically what this podcast is all about is we're going to be interviewing HBCU alumni, different Greek members, and also current students as well about the effect that their HBCU and their organization has had on their lives. So we're going to be having some great conversations, going to be some raw, open, and honest conversations, some much-needed conversations specifically, and some great guests as well. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, Mr. Jamal Joseph, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I am great. I'm great. Excited to interview you this evening. I know you've worked with so many great people, a dancer, choreographer, creative director. So before we really dive into it, give us a little bit of your background information and where you came from.
A little bit of my background?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Where do you want me to start?
Oh, it's okay. Just a little bit about how, I guess your background, like where you were born and yeah, just a little bit, brief history of you, just a little bit, just real brief, and then we'll give them some more later on.
Well, I was born in Oakland, California, and I have five sisters, and so I grew up in a pretty artsy family.
Okay.
Most of my family is in the music industry, or dancers, or write, so that was kind of all I knew growing up. Mm-hmm. And when my dad left the music industry, he became a pastor.
Uh-huh.
And then we moved to Texas. So I went to high school in Dallas, Texas. And there I started the step team at my high school. And then we started to compete. And I was doing that from young. And then I was dancing background for Kirk Franklin. Got to sing background for him. And did some other things, sang background for some other people, opened for the president, and
okay.
Then just started to grow from there, and then I went to, time to graduate.
Okay.
So a little bit, and then after that, I went to, where did I go? My college.
Yeah.
I literally just got that before me.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
My body's still coming down.
It's okay.
And yeah, so I went to Voorhees College in Denmark, South Carolina, mm-hmm. very small HBCU.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I was there 4 years. My in Fall 07, I pledged Alpha Fraternity Incorporated.
Okay.
I graduated with a bachelor in science and arts,
okay.
And my degree was in mass communications.
Okay.
And then, graduated 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Telling my age.
Okay, it's okay. I'm a 2012 graduate, so it's okay.
After that, I moved to Atlanta, and I started to dance with the ballet company there, the ballet dance company. I was there for a little bit. I was there for about 2 years, and then, I just said I wanted to get up and go somewhere different. I wanted to try something out. I was like, well, let's go, or let me try something out, and I was wanting to be in New York, so I went to New York, and I was trying to decide if I was going to go the Broadway route, because I did sing in college, and I sang growing up, and I was like, do I want to go Broadway, or do I want to go commercial? And I decided to go commercial, and I was there for a little bit, started to teach and choreograph, and then one day I just got up and said I want to move to LA, and packed up all my stuff, and I was here for like 2 days, and I booked a job, and then I just started working.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay. So you definitely have a lot of under your belt, and definitely you're, you know, when they say follow your dreams, I can see when you get an idea in your head, you just up and let me go chase it. So that's definitely a good trait to have. Now let's take it back a little bit to your experience at Voorhees College. Would you say that's in Denmark, South Carolina, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So your experience at that HBCU, and even we can kind of bridge both of them together, becoming a member of your fraternity. How do you feel like those experiences shape you to be the man that you are today and actually prepare you for your career as a dancer?
Well, going to Voorhees, it was like one of those get as far as away as you can from your parents. Because I got accepted to other schools, but I was like, they can travel.
That's okay.
Just go.
Just want to be
away. It was actually a culture shock because I grew up in Oakland, so I was still a city boy, and then Dallas was kind of a city, so I was like, all right, I'm here, like, this country, I don't understand what people are saying, I was like, this is a culture shock, I don't have no reception,
like,
where's the mall, I felt like a spoiled kid or something, like, what is life, so I'm a little different. I was actually, after my freshman year, I knew I was going to transfer to Claflin University, and I was going to sing in their choir. And I was like, let me just transfer. But I was like, no, I want to play. I'm already cool with the boys here. I was like, let me not do too much. I'm trying to be in school longer. I'm just trying to get out. Like, this degree is for my parents. And but it really taught me a lot to be there because I was from a bigger city. So, in high school, having over 5,000 kids in my school, we had a Nike store in our school, and Domino's, and all those grand things in my school. And so, me being a dancer, I was always competing against the best school. So I was used to it. So when I got to Voorhees, I was just like, "Wow, really advanced." So it was a little different. And so a lot of people looked up to me, and then I was president of the model troop. And I remember my freshman year, it was really crazy. The girl who's over the dance team, she actually gave me the dance team. She was like, "You're much better than me." And she said, "I'm actually pregnant, and I'm going to go. Don't tell anybody."
Okay.
And it was the crazy part is her baby ended up being... she's in that movie Almost Christmas, and she's the girl who puts a spell on Marcy Martin and Little, and that, I was like, that's her daughter. I was like, girl, this is why you left school. Cool. Like, you know. But then she gave me the dance team, and then I was president of Model Troop, and I was president of the choir, and then I played, and I was president of my chapter, so I was always choreographing pageants and war shows at the school, and
I was
just doing different things. Like, I brought salsa, ballet, those things that aren't normally recognized in Black culture that Black people do. So it was really cool for me to be able to be creative and just build and learn how to lead, which was very hard. Just because, you know, people don't do stuff when you want it, and you're like, come on, I want this done now. So definitely learn how to do that. Not just learn how to create something out of nothing. Being at HBCU, we didn't always have a budget to do everything. So I really learned to build, you know, something with a $100 budget, make it look like it was thousands of dollars. Grow as a creative. And then that helps me in my fraternity as well. And give my chapter a really brought stepping a new style. Mm-hmm. You know, I kept the alpha style, the traditional stuff, but mm-hmm. I bought different beats and rhythms because I heard tap rhythms when I stepped and mm-hmm. other things. And then, you know, being president and step master and coming up with different shows and having to deal with people, it wasn't easy because, you know, I was 18 when I pledged, so, you know,
really?
Everybody was almost older. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, I was in college at 17, so
okay.
18 when I was pledging.
Okay.
And so most of the people are way older. I was the youngest person on my line. Everybody mm-hmm. else was like 21 and up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really different. It was just a lot to learn and grasp. They were really hard on me. Like a lot of people, a lot of teachers, they're like, you're not going to graduate. Like a lot of people didn't really believe that I was going to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because I dreamed a lot bigger than what most people in those areas
mm-hmm.
can ever
accepted. That's interesting. Well, and you know, I can definitely relate to you because I went to Tuskegee, and you know, I'm from Illinois, and so right outside of Chicago. So it's like coming from, like you say, a big city. You coming from Oakland, the Voorhees, and me. It's definitely a huge culture shock in a little small town. So I can definitely relate to you on that. Yeah.
And then I just taught me, like, you know, I think that I'm in one of the toughest industries, and it doesn't mean that I don't have my days too, but I know that when I was pledging, we learned a lot, and it was tired moments, not me, a delightful treat. So mm-hmm. me pledging, I learned a lot in terms of, you know, how to stand strong when people are going to kick you down. It doesn't make it easy.
Mm-hmm.
It really
mm-hmm.
doesn't make it any easier.
Mm-hmm.
Because the pledging process is temporary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The industry is forever in your life and career, so you deal with it a little bit more every day.
Right.
But I think that when you do go through a process like pledging, there comes a point where you kind of space out and you just, like, okay, this is every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that being a member of the organization has really showed me, okay, cool. Like, you know, this is going to be my everyday for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that I'm going to have to deal with this. And mm-hmm. I think it's okay. Made it a little easier.
Right.
So some people will be like, how do you do this? Or how do you, like, I don't know. Something just makes me snap out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or even when I have bad days, I get up the next day and I'm like, okay.
Right.
Well, just
kind
mm-hmm. of move on.
Yeah, just keep moving. Yep. Now, And I want to ask you, too, especially you going to Voorhees College, and like you said, it is one of the smaller HBCUs, you know, and a lot of people, when they think of HBCUs, most people think Howard, Spell, you know, like the larger one. So what do you think, what's one of the biggest misconceptions or myths that people have about going to an HBCU?
I think that most people think that HBCUs are going to be just black, ghetto type,
mm-hmm.
Ain't nothing but, you know, bands and the entertainment aspect of what happens at HBCUs. I think a lot of people also think that you're not going to get a good education.
Mm.
And, you know, of course they think low funding.
Right.
Everything negative is pretty much portrayed for
mm-hmm.
HBCUs.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly think that has a lot to do with our culture as well, because, you know, the Jeffersons, black people want to be the Jeffersons. We want to move on up, and we don't think that, you know, schools like Vanderbilt, Howard, Yale, all those major schools,
mm-hmm.
or Stanford are funded by their alumni. Their alumni send them money,
right?
And that they really give back. They make a way for things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so it does start with the alumni,
mm-hmm.
for sure, but it starts with our culture, too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to see better in our community, then we have to be better. We're already some of the most creative. And when we look at the people
Definitely.
In the industry,
mm-hmm.
most of the people in the industry have come, most of the top people have come from HBCUs.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know. Yep, that's true.
Yeah.
And so, okay, so let's, after graduating from college, getting into your career and even just being able to choreograph one of the biggest names, Beyonce, you know, period. So how did you come to that, and what was that experience like, being able to just being able to have that under your belt and say, this is who I've choreographed for?
You talking about working with Beyonce?
Yes, and even like all of the other artists that you've worked with, like how did you get to that point, and what were those experiences like?
So it started, there was a brother of mine who, he had a crew out here, and he was like, hey, bro, you know, I was actually going to retire dance at that point, mm-hmm. and he said, hey, bro, you know, I have to be on J-Lo's first season of World Dance. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's great. I've been in the competition before, but not on television. I was like, cool, well. Mm-hmm. You know, let me know. So we were going through all these auditions, and I was like, all right, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. This industry, you can or can't. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really think anything of it.
Right.
And then they had called me, I think, like the next week, and I was like, hey, you guys are officially on the show. Here's your NDA and all this stuff. And I was like, okay, cool. So I was doing that,
mm-hmm.
and it was really tough because there was a lot with it. A lot of contractual things that I learned, and payments and all that stuff, because right after that show, I lost everything I had, and I was like, well, this isn't supposed to be how it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
This is supposed to elevate me.
Mm-hmm.
So, got a little crazy, and then right after we were done with that show, I ended up doing the pre-Grammys for like CBS and Lexus thing, and Dancing with Diamond Shark from Danny DeCan, and did something with you, Liz, or Danny DeCan.
Mm-hmm.
And then I left LA actually for a few months.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I need a break.
Yeah.
And then, but whatever I did, I could dance because I had technical training and all of those things, and I could do hip hop and stuff. But I always use stepping to get in the door because when people wanted something different, I used that as my specialty.
Okay.
And then, like, you step way different than even most Greeks we see. So that always got me in the door when they wanted something different.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the shows that I've been on, they pull me on for it, and they'd be like, okay, you can just be in it because you dance too. So
right.
That's kind of how it always worked. And then after that, I ended up going into, I got to dance for NERD's last album, that whole thing. So I had just got called. I had a cousin who was on it. He was on So You Did. My cousin was on So You Did. He danced. Just got off the show. He was dancing for Pharrell. He'd be up. I was like, bro, he wants 25 more dancers. Went and did that. And then it just started to grow and then do other things. And I was tracking all my stuff to leave LA.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of my frat brothers hit me up and said, hey, hey, bro, you know, there's an audition. He's like, I think it's for Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
I was invited.
Mm.
Can't go. I'm going to grad school. Can you go in my place?
Mm-hmm.
So I went in his place.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to the audition the next day because he called me like 11 o'clock at night. He's like, it's in the morning, like at 10, so you got to be there on top. So I got there. I went first. And I think 2 days later, they was like, hey, see you in rehearsal. And so, like, going into rehearsal, know, most of the time you see artists like the next day or you don't see them, you know, for a while.
Right.
Her and Jay-Z and everybody came in the first day, so I was already teaching my sections. It was definitely different, but I think that the things I learned in college helped me because I always made up spec shows on the spot. I never practiced them before. So that worked out because you can't take music homework and all that stuff because they don't want people to leak anything, so I would be in the rehearsals and have to make up things on the spot or remember the music and, you know, imagine making up that whole show and you got different people choreographing different sections and we all have like one major speaker. And I'm like, hey, can I play my part? Hey, can I do this? Hey, can I do this? And then it's like, okay, go over there, teach them your section. You go over there, teach them your section. You go over there, and like, you're mixing and matching. And it's only 12 of us at the time. And we were pretty much the skeleton of coming up with everything.
Mm.
And then even when you hear the feet on the stage and stuff, like, those are my feet, like, stepping on a mic to amplify the sound. And just different things that it took to put together that show. It was, you know, 6 days a week that you were 8 to 8 plus hours, you know, 12 hour day. I remember one day I was showing her, and she said, I didn't realize it was this technical. And I was like, yes. It's really technical when you're doing it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had also said, like, yo, I didn't. She was like, how can I keep this authentic? I was like, you are real Greeks, but it can be
right.
picky trying to get us because we can't wear letters and this. And then they start showing, and I was like, we don't own these letters.
Mm.
We just represent them and
right.
all of that. And
mm-hmm.
So just trying to teach stuff. And a lot of people actually got mad. I got so much hate mail from it.
Really?
And
why?
You give a like all these things, and I was explaining to people that I think that A, I wasn't giving it away, but B, I was showing someone a part of our culture that is a part of the HBCU experience,
right.
but also it was better that someone showed them than they went online and actually copied our stuff.
Exactly.
And there was a lot of things that I told them to take out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, take out, like, you know, I told her, I was like, don't hold up the whole design at all. Because Jumpsuit would think something. You know, it was like, you know, no shimmy and no this and that. So
right.
I really tried to explain it to a lot of Greeks that stepping is something that started in Africa. That's a tradition. We made it into what it is.
Right.
But they have gumboot stepping and Zulu and so many other styles of that was their communication. So us teaching someone a culture is actually our ancestral history and not
something that we created.
What we created is our style. Precision, smooth, prissy, aggressive, like hopping. Those are the things that we created.
Right.
And those are the only things that we shouldn't allow people to do. So it was definitely an experience. Some stuff I'll never probably talk about.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, stuff, right, you know, so.
It's
take to the grave with you.
I think that some people don't realize what you go through mentally being on a big job like that, you know. To be in a rehearsal for 8 to 12 hours, a lot of times you don't have the time to do what you need to do on those 9-to-5 business hours.
Right.
So, I remember one day I was getting up going to rehearsal. It never rained in California and Southern, for real. And then it just was raining really badly that day. Walked outside. They had put up a sign like 1 o'clock the night before. And I had a boot on my car. And I was like, well, dang, like, I can't get this off, like, because they're not going to come off for the next hour. Rehearsal is about to start. I got to go, but I could come back, and my car was gone. I came back, and they were gone. And I was like, okay, now, like, I got to go get it. And then, like, my dad had just got back from Africa, and he had caught malaria while he was over there. So I'm, like, trying to step in and out of rehearsals. And it's just so many things. Like, life is still happening.
Right.
So you got to learn. I think that, you know, the college HBCU part taught me how to balance it to say, okay, this is happening. Deal with this right now. Deal with that later. Like, how to finagle do it all. So
you experienced a lot, and it's definitely important, and you know, because that's what this podcast is all about, just telling the stories of HBCU graduates and how their HBCU life, and if they're Greek, their Greek life has affected them. And so, you know, clearly, like you were saying, like, it's definitely had an impact on you, and you definitely accomplished a lot in your short year, so congratulations to you on everything. Now, as we get ready to wrap up, what are some upcoming projects you're working on? And give us some final words that you want to leave or anything else you want to add to the interview for those that are listening.
Well, yeah, I actually got to work with Rafael Steak's last project. I don't know if you guys saw that. I don't know if you know Song Girl, you know I.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's my uncle. And my father plays the song. So, I know that my uncle and
project.
I may be helping with that video and stuff, because I do direct music videos and stuff, and a few of Kanye's Sunday Service sample singers are working on some projects I'm working with them on. And Brian Knight Jr. is actually working on one of his mixtapes. He's really big overseas, like, and of course everyone knows his father, but he's trying to bring his music over here, so we're working on some videos for that, and at the moment I'm choreographing for AGT, America's Got Talent.
Okay.
And the other things are just that big that you gotta wait to see. Okay. But it's a lot.
You staying busy. You staying busy though, definitely. It's a blessing though. It's a blessing, and especially, you know, being a creative, because a lot of people, they have a hard time trying to break into the industry. So the fact that you've been able to, you know, not only break in but work with so many successful artists and really be able to do what you love, that's amazing. So, congratulations.
But even then, you're still forever breaking in, because for most people, they say, "Wow, you like," because I just finished choreographing for like Faith Evans and I did Mont Sykes and all these other people, and I've BET Awards, and it was cool. But you know, once I broke into that and people started to recognize me as a dancer and choreographer, that put me on the same platform as people who have probably already been in it for 10 years. And they're like, "Yeah, I did them already. I've done this artist already." So it just now elevated me.
Do more.
The bottom. Oh. And then it's like, oh, okay, cool. I've worked with everybody you worked with, so what separates me? So then you're like, okay, I have to now start branding myself in a different way.
Ah, right. That's facts. So, okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's a forever process. Trust me.
I can definitely be, I mean, especially being a creative, it's definitely always, you know, each day is different. I mean, even an entrepreneur in general, being a creative, it's always, every day is something new. So it's always something, like you said, something new to learn. And I heard you mention earlier, you said, we'll save it for your book. So is there a book coming soon or maybe in the near?
Oh, no, I'm not doing no book.
No book?
It's so bad. My ADHD is so bad. I probably couldn't even sit down that long to write it. I would have to tell somebody to write it. I like, even for me to read a book, it has to be super interesting for me to even do it, because the words start turning in the songs, the choreography. I don't even sleep. I choreograph in my sleep mostly, so I rarely do that. So,
no.
Later, I gotta get like really, really famous. You know, I gotta get on my Quincy Jones level and Beyonce level, and then I could say it or P. Diddy, and I could just say what I wanna say.
Put a ghostwriter.
Right.
You getting there though. You are definitely on track to getting there. So what, like I said, what are some final words that you want to give to, and especially going back to even your, the students on your campus at Voorhees College, who are dancers and thinking about, you know, getting into your field and looking up to you, what are some words of advice that you want to give to them and just creatives in general?
I always tell people that there's always a way and you need to just find that way.
Right.
For me, I took a different route. You know, I didn't start when everybody else started. And so I took the route of, I knew all the singers. And all the singers were going to always want project. So when my friends who were background singers started to move out of that wave of sing background and want to go lead, it put me on. And networking is very important. Networking doesn't mean... it doesn't mean like I have your contact information. That means I'm building a relationship to build a network. Through Facebook, we build networks with other people. And that's very important. And always thinking outside of the box is the biggest thing. You know, people say, oh, I can't afford a dance class. Okay, well, go to the dance studio and tell them that. You know, close mouth, don't just say it. I know that recently I had choreographed a project, and I reached out, it was for Harriet and the movie, and I said, oh my god, and I reached out to Cynthia Erivo, and I said, oh my god, I should do this for the Oscars. She said, I wish you would have asked me like 2 weeks ago. She was like, we already got everything set.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, dang, I could have performed at the Oscars, I just didn't ask. And it was that simple. I've seen friends on episode, I did some episodes for Insecure again on the season 2 album, and some of my friends were on there, and they literally went up to the writers and said, hey, how did you get in the writers room? They said, no one's ever asked us.
Wow.
So,
just ask.
You know, so it's being face to face, I know tomorrow I have a meeting with Shirley Ralph. I just literally said, hey, I want to speak to you about something. She said, okay, cool.
See,
but, just, you know, sometimes people aren't going to be open, but sometimes people will be open, especially if you have something great to offer. And I tell creatives, create something. People won't believe in it. Don't depend on your friends. Your friends are going to be your worst support.
Okay. The last people to support until you get on.
Yeah, supporters are going to be the people that you don't know.
Exactly, exactly.
They're going to be those who are going to reach out and got to see what you have to offer. Because your friends see you as the person that they've seen grow.
Right.
I know you.
Just so-and-so,
They don't see you as someone that they can take something from.
Right.
That way.
That's facts.
So, get a therapist.
Speaking of that, I'm glad you brought that up, because this one thing I did, we can touch on real quick, mental health, because I know you mentioned earlier, when you were choreographing all those shows, you know, people didn't realize the effect that it took on you. So what are some things that you do to keep your mental health in check? Or is it just, you know, having a therapist? Is that your, you know, go-to thing?
So just now getting into the mental health thing, honestly. For a while, I didn't think that I had anything mentally wrong. And I don't think I was in denial. I was just like, well, I'm getting a job.
Yeah, you feel fine.
I didn't realize how they were affecting me until I'm a socialite. And until I stopped wanting to be around people, I didn't realize it. I was like, oh, I don't like anybody.
like, what's wrong with me?
And as I got older, I was an empath growing up, seriously. But as I got older, my empathy got stronger to where people could touch me and I'd be like, something's wrong. What's wrong with you? And then I started to carry the weights of others' emotions, trying to help everybody. And as an artist, that's already giving. No one's ever replenishing. So I had to find ways to replenish what I'm doing. And that may be whatever. You could go sit by water, see people that you love, go to a video game arcade, movies, eat your favorite snacks. I don't know. Like, just looking at something that's going to make you feel better at the end of the day. Yeah. And making sure that you have that constantly. Scientifically, they say that it takes 17 yeses to erase one no. Or something negative. So you need to hear positive things over and over to erase one thing. And that's really crazy. Another thing is just do it. Just do it. Even if, like, if you have an idea, do it. Because I think that spiritually, if we don't, God gives the idea to someone else. And it gets done. And I've seen plenty of things that were my ideas. Only my close friends know this, but when I was Coachella, I sat down with some of my friends and I said, yo, we should choreograph a show. My aunt sings background for her. I can send this to her and ask her if she would show me how to. I was just thinking so optimistic, like, I know that's not how it works. We should choreograph it, and she'd be like, HBCUs, and I was like, a lot of her songs had like majorettes, and we should have steppers, and I had this whole vision in my head, but I said, oh, I can't pay my friends, or most of my friends were like, bro, I can't take up that much time, like, I can't get paid, and all these things. So I sat, and I just prayed about it, and then it was crazy because God said, okay, well, I'm going to give you the job. You're going to choreograph and you're going to give it your friends. And so, you know, just really sticking to, but had I done it, I probably would have completely been over the whole project. You know what I mean? That's just an asset. Just do it. When you see it being done, even if it doesn't come out right, you're going to fail. You know, that's cool to fail because you can know where to grow.
You learn from it. That's facts. All right, Jamal. Well, it was definitely nice speaking with you and learning more about you. Like I said, congratulations on everything you have going on, everything you've done. And we definitely look for... before we go, give us... well, people can find you on Instagram. You have a website.
Add me on Instagram. Jamal Joseph, JAMALJOSEF.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my Instagram, Facebook, everything. Is Jamal Joseph.
Okay. Real simple, straight to the point. Okay.
My website, JamalJoseph.com. Everything.
Okay. Okay, so literally Jamal, just type. If you can't find him, just Google Jamal yourself and everything will come up. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Jamal. Well, thank you. Thank you. And we will look forward to talking to you soon.
All right.
All right. Okay, bye-bye. Thank you.